Hello, welcome back to Millennial 2018. I'm sorry about the delay. There was a miscommunication. Ramsey Paul didn't know that he was supposed to be coming on just now. So, but instead, I've swapped him around with one of the later guests, and that's Davis Arini. So, Davis MJ Arini. So, welcome to back to Millennial. You were on 2 years ago, I think it was 2016.
I actually did that in a McDonald's parking lot in the middle of nowhere, as I recall. And by the way, it's an honor to be Ramsey Paul's understudy. I was actually just listening to one of his speeches at Amarin earlier today, where he was discussing explaining the neo-reactionary movement. And the guy's, he's brilliant. He is absolutely funny. I mean, the guy. When I'm giving a speech, I try and put a few jokes in, okay? That guy puts in a joke every couple of minutes. He's a great speaker, has a great presentation.
How do you
So
joke about the neo-reactionaries? That's quite an achievement.
hopefully he doesn't mind me taking up his position.
No. Just swapped you around. It should be fine. It's one of these bloody things. I've been using this email system that it ends up in people's spam folders, and it's something I'm going to have to change for next year because it's a real pisser.
Right. Folks, I'll say like the funny man on TV that tells you Orange Man is bad.exe, that guy's got a whole bloody team. They've got hotels and we do the damnedest to be professional, but every once in a while something slips between the cracks because we're doing it on our own.
Exactly. So, I guess we should talk. Well, you wanted to talk about deplatforming because I mean that is the issue this year. Like, so many people have been talking about that on Millennial, and everyone has a different sort of slant on it. And you have a particular slant on it because, well, okay, well, let's just go into it. As some people will know, Davis Arini's channel. Well, he had a YouTube channel, and when I discovered it in April 2013, and about, I don't know how many, well, 6 months later, I was thinking about starting my own channel, and 8 months later, I did start my own channel. And so Arini's channel was very much an inspiration for me.
You honor me.
Well, I think it's right to say this now, especially because of what's happened, because it's important. I want to sort of make this clear that without Arini's channel, I don't know, maybe I would have started my own one, but certainly I took his sort of format as an inspiration, which was one video about one topic, and it would be largely improvised, and it would be on some concept of society, philosophy, morality, religion, culture, politics, film. You talked a lot about films, more than I did. And so that was the thing, but it was the attitude, the sort of worldview that you were presenting. And I might fanboy a bit here. Forgive me if it's embarrassing, but it was the worldview that you were presenting at that time was completely, well, radically new to me. I hadn't seen anything like it. And I see, I was coming out of the paleocon phase, and I was looking for something more, well, optimistic and also more.
Ancient. We were just talking about Ramsey Paul and his neo-reactionary presentation. And I kind of went through a similar thing where I was sort of conservative, but I never liked Walmart. And then I was like libertarian. And then I just went full anarcho-capitalist. Fuck it! I don't believe in anything except free market and guns.
But also, by the time I discovered you in 2013, you'd outgrown the libertarian thing as well. I mean, you knew that that was kind of dumbass, kind of like simplistic, and
I want a society that looks libertarian on the surface, but you need a really solid structure. It's like they say the expert makes it look easy because of all the practice. The society looks libertarian because it's got such a solid backbone underneath of it that it can enable all of this freedom of individuals. And so, yeah, I came around to neo-reactionaryism, which is something very ancient. It goes like you could, these are the societies that have worked for 15,000 years. And these are the principles. This is the truth. This is the objective truth that's underneath all of that. And right now, everything that's modern, it's a self-serving delusion. It's a Marvel comic book, essentially.
Yeah, And well, we can get to that kind of stuff later if you want. But what I want to concentrate on just now is the story of your channel, because I don't know when you started your channel. It was quite old. I think you started it for sort of shitpostery stuff in like 2010 or something like that. Is that correct?
Something like that. It was pretty early on in the YouTube days.
Because your first video was a sort of comedy thing. It was a joke thing.
Yeah, yeah. My Skull MacArthur back there was the star of that video. And but it was something like 2013 is when I started doing the videos. I was honestly just trying to practice my public speaking, but they kind of took off. They kind of got popular. I got some good responses, met some good people through that, such as yourself, and I've been doing it since.
Yeah. Well, and so that was an important thing, and there was nothing else like it. Because I was on this forum, the Theodore Dalrymple forum, and PaleoCon, and we're sort of running out of steam. We were moaning about the modern world, but through a very, from a particular perspective that was quite staid and sort of joyless, frankly, zestless. And then I discovered your channel, and it was like, okay, this is a guy who lives in the modern world, but is aware of ancient things, and is aware of how you can't go too far with like pretending that we all want to live in Victorian England when we don't, because we wouldn't fit in there. We're products of the late 20th century, and so we have to sort of be honest about that. And there were various aspects to, I don't want to go on and on about how about this, but the fact is that there were various aspects to your worldview as presented on your channel that I just thought, fuck, this is just what I needed to quote the Cars. And it was great at the time. So the crucial thing is that your channel was terminated a few months ago.
I'm gone.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that? I know that you've got suspicions about why it happened. I guess that's...
Forget the suspicions. Yeah. End of the day, because explaining what happened would take 20 minutes. It's tedious. It's boring. At the end of the day, YouTube claims that I was engaging in spam comments and or deceptive marketing practices, which it looks like that's for if you're trying to sell penis pills on YouTube or something like that. That's what they claim I was doing. I wasn't doing that. I think it should go without saying. They refused to explain which video violated it, or they refused to. I was targeted. Listen, about 6 months ago, there's something called YouTube Car. I don't know. My friend has this. You can listen to YouTube videos while you're driving with this thing. And about 6 months ago or so ago, I got taken off of that. Now, I don't even know what the thing is, okay? I'm extremely primitive in my technology. But it's just one example. Bit by bit, this progressive censorship. And so this was right before the, was it the Senate elections in the United States? The giant election that happened a couple months back.
Midterms,
thank you. It was right before that. And I guess they learned from the Trump election that the internet has an influence. So this time around, I got kicked off of YouTube for a completely manufactured reason. Forney got suspended, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? They're lying about the reasons. They're doing it because we are conservative. And you know what? Okay, I'm going to blow some sunshine up your ass. What I really appreciate about you is your vulnerability. And you had a speech you gave talking about when you got censored from Twitter, how you become this ghost, right? You're like, you can watch people having a conversation, but you can't engage in it.
God, it's so disturbing. It's awful. Yeah.
I keep every so often, I go to like a video or I go to leave a comment in the lives, and I can't do that anymore, right? It's all those words I spoke, all the comments that people put, and those they invested their time writing a comment. In fact, I even had a video. I just had a requested video that a guy paid me money for, and it had just been uploaded one day before it happened. He didn't even get a chance to see it on YouTube. I did post it to BitChute, but the point is, when you get a requested video like that, part of what you're getting is all the comments underneath of it. And so that was taken away from him. YouTube destroyed, this is, on the one hand, it's a business of mine. I do make money doing this. They stole my business. They stole, like, I... this guy hired me to make a product. I made a product. They stole that product from him. Everybody that's commented, they stole that voluntary effort from all of them. It's absolutely wrong, but it's also, and this is, you were talking about this, how it's so, there's an existential dread to, you know, like I have no mouth and I must scream. They take away our ability to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I mean, in multiple different ways, and I'm not going to go on about it because I've talked about it so much and my subscribers are sick of hearing about it. But it's funny because my main thing was always YouTube, but the Twitter thing had started to mean too much to me, frankly. I was sort of addicted. But it's its own world. I mean, every social media thing, like Facebook and Instagram and all these, each one is its own sort of realm. And you have a presence on each one that is quite separate, actually. I mean, I dare say I had lots of Twitter followers who never watched my videos, probably. But either way, it's your sort of, it's the extension of you in that particular realm. So that's your YouTube channel is the extension of you on YouTube. It's almost like it feels like a piece of your body that is there. And suddenly it's non-functional. Very disturbing.
It is. And okay. So listen, I was really touched by you just discussing it like that, because that's exactly what I was feeling. Like, on the one hand, I'm looking at I'm looking at the silver lining of this cloud. I like being off of YouTube because I am less notorious with the rabid left at this point. I'm harder for them to find. They're probably not going to go searching me out. So this is good. I don't want their attention, right? I don't want the attention of the masses. I'm not Paris Hilton. So there's that good that came from it. But it's still quite traumatic. And what they're doing, ultimately, there's a really good video by the Distributist, who I've chatted with him on and off. I really like the guy. I think he's got great videos. And he was talking about how it's control of the narrative. Because the narrative that the left wants to own is that you have... And he was talking about Sargon of Akkad, which actually, this is a whole other issue, the infighting on our side. There's people on the right celebrating that Sargon got kicked off. And yeah. Listen, I've got a personal beef with him. And I've told him, if I meet him in person and he hasn't apologized by then, I'm punching him in the face. Just once. Nothing fancy. Just something to make a believer out of him. And after that, we're cool. But I do not celebrate him getting kicked off of Patreon. That is fucking horseshit. He did, and it's because in another life, he made a sarcastic comment that used a dirty word on somebody else's. Like, this has nothing to do with the Patreon terms of service. What's completely unacceptable. I do not celebrate it. I denounce it. This is wrong. And they're coming for all of us next.
That's it. I mean, even if you don't like Sargon or you don't like whoever, to celebrate that person being deplatformed is so fucking naive. It really, it amazes me that people can do this. Because, like, well, really, do you really think this isn't going to affect 10 people that you do like down the line? Of course it is. So when you approve of it happening to that person, or you celebrate it happening, you're just enabling the same thing to happen to people that you like. I mean, fuck's sake. And then on an ethical level, okay, you don't like Sargon, but that's his livelihood gone.
He's got the right. Listen, he doesn't have the right to speak in my house. He doesn't have the right to come into my house or stand on my... Like, if he was commenting bullshit on one of my videos, I'd block him. Right, so that's my house. That's my soapbox. I built it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got the right to build his own damn soapbox.
Yeah, it's not at all the same. Because I've had this, I get stick sometimes, like, well, you ban people from your channel, so what right have you got to, you know, is, but to equate that with being deplatformed.
How stick do we have to get?
Yeah, I know. It's not the same thing at all. I think that this is, I mean, I have no idea. What do you think about the long term here?
The Distributors is pointing out, here is what their goal is. Okay, the goal is that now that Sargon has been kicked off of YouTube, they get to say, the left gets to say, ha ha, that guy was a jerk, and he broke the, even though he didn't break the terms of service, they can say that he broke the terms of service. He used a bad word. And it was used sarcastically. The it was when he called the people in the alt-right a bunch of white N-words, which, you know, is that fair? I don't know. Some of them act like white N-words. But he was not using the N-word to describe the people that it normally describes. Okay, oh. He was not using it. He was using it in a way that these people have probably used it. But it doesn't, but they get to tell the narrative now. So the narrative becomes that Sargon was a rabble-rouser, he was fake news, and he got kicked off for using the N-word. That is now the official history. Sargon has had his pen taken away. He's had his voice taken away. He's not allowed to say his side of the story anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate goal, is to restrict the narrative into whatever they want it to be, whatever serves them, to replace objective reality with subjective reality.
Yeah, and a part of this is that the alternative media is growing and has been growing, and you know eventually would, and I think, take the place of the mainstream, the established media. And I think that is, because the thing is, like with Sargon of Akkad, I mean, we don't need to go on about him specifically, but he's a relevant example here. He's got nearly 900,000 subscribers on YouTube, so nearly a million. He will get a million. That's inevitable. That's more than most. I think, in fact, I think any newspaper in Britain. I think they've all got fewer than like readers than that. So, and probably many in America and Canada as well. So that is a major cultural voice, even though he's far from the biggest YouTuber on earth. He's actually quite small compared to likes of PewDiePie, but he's a fucking big cultural force. And regardless of what you think of him, the point is that the established media have damn good reason to want to silence people like him. Now, he's still got his YouTube channel. He hasn't been silenced in that sense.
Not yet.
But not yet. But I mean, if Patreon can sabotage him this easily, then YouTube can, you know, find something and do the same thing. But well, either way, Patreon did this to fuck him up.
Look at what happened to Gavin McGinnis. And there again, here's another guy. You know, I've told you privately that I'm trying really hard not to insult other people on the right in public. I mean, private, I'll insult. We can gossip like a couple of old school marms. But certainly in public, yes, there's people I disagree with. I think it's anybody familiar with Gavin McGinnis, you can probably figure out where I disagree with him on things. But he's a funny guy. He's saying his thing. And people are tuning in to listen to it, right? My disagreement with him, it's that I should out-argue him, right? I should out-argue his positions. Instead, he's being silenced. And honestly, and this is another thing, like we don't have the luxury of this argument on the right. Of course, we need to disagree. We can't be a massive self-fellating group of whatever.
Yeah, just idiots pretending to agree with each other, sort of to stave off discontent or whatever. No, obviously not. But I completely agree. I'm in the same boat now. I try my best not to take the piss out of other people on the right because, yeah. Well, so you take it away. You go.
Oh yeah, it's so easy for these things to turn into blood feuds. And you know, there's a great video I sent out lately about how social media is all. It's one form of communicating. It's one form of association, which is networking. That's not the only one. In fact, it's not even a healthy one, okay? This is what asocial schizoids do for socialization, is they network. Regular people like a controlled, moderated place to hang out, like a forum, or like the comment section of one of your videos, where if someone's being an asshole, they get out of here, pal. You got to be contributing. Well, that's how we like it. But what happens is that because we're all stuck in this social media network where the past is eternal, it's the eternal present. What you did 5 years ago, well, that video's still up. There's still clips of that up. And there's the recent case, I won't name who it was, but recent case, somebody attacked a friend of mine for associating with me because of something I said 5 years ago, which proves that I'm an XYZ. So these blood feuds, like you say something about whomever it is, And Lord knows, I've said things about people, okay? I don't necessarily take the words back, but I'm saying, guys, take them with a grain of salt. I'm a flawed human being too. But you say something about somebody, that quote becomes the eternal present. So you are always in the present insulting that person, and these blood feuds just get completely out of control, and we do the left's work for them.
That's the thing. That's the crucial thing. We end up destroying ourselves on behalf of the left, who now don't need to do it themselves. That is nuts.
There is suspicion that what triggered my channel getting kicked was somebody that's more or less on the right flagging one of my videos for pure spite. So that it's a suspicion. There's no proof. And it doesn't matter who it is. Like, I was going to get kicked off at one point or another. But again, it's people on the left, since Gamergate's been over, they don't really care what I'm up to. The people that give me the most flack are people on the right. The people that are trying to come up with clever memes to insult me are the people on the right. And it's
the narcissism of small differences, you could say. I mean, when somebody is closer to you, you're sort of more aware of them.
Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know what, this is what the Bible means when it says, live by the sword, die by the sword. Okay? It doesn't mean that you shouldn't defend yourself. It doesn't mean Christ also says, sell your cloak and buy a sword. You should have a sword. But if everything, it's like if all you have is a hammer, everything's a nail. If everything is picking nits and starting arguments and finding flaws with other people, that's going to come to bite you in the ass. If you do nothing but harass other people online, eventually you're going to get harassed offline. And that's what we're doing often.
Yeah, because you'll build up so many resentments. So many people will have it in for you. I mean, I think that this is something that, again, I'm not going to name names, but I think several people this year have discovered that you end up sort of assembling a group of people around yourself who all have it in for you. It's like you're encircled. And eventually, yeah, one of them is going to make the killing move and, you know, fuck you up.
Yeah, if you start a club based upon envy, eventually your followers become envious of you. Yeah, like the natural law, karma, like this is a real thing. It's like we have these things called ice roads in the north where a lake will freeze over, so they turn it into a road. But if you drive too fast on that road, you get a wave that builds up, and eventually it will crack the ice right under your vehicle and you'll drown in freezing water. And that's what this, if you're sending bad karma, if you are screwing people over or you're gossiping about people or just being nasty and petty, eventually you're going to create such a wave of bad energy that it's going to come and slam back into you with 100-fold.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of people learn this the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the word energy or energies has this sort of hippie-ish connotation to it. But I think it is a real thing in the sense that, well, I mean, if you go around bad-mouthing people, there are going to be that's going to create a lot of bad energy, because there are going to be a lot of people then who are thinking, well, he fucking said that thing about me 6 months ago, three years ago even, you know, whatever. And it's going to build up and build up, and then they'll be talking to each other, and that will spread a rumor, and people will hear that about you and not something more favorable, etc. You know, one thing leads to another. That's something that I think is just not understood these days at all. And I think our ancestors did understand this, that one thing leads to another in vague ways that you can't even explain and that you can't predict.
Yeah, all you got to. You know, again, this sounds like hippie talk. You got to go with the flow. You got to feel what's going on. You have to pay attention to that, and you want to move with the currents. If you fight against the currents, it'll snap your ship.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. So, is there anything else you'd want to say about the deplatforming? I mean, are you going to create a new channel, or are you relieved? Or how do you feel now? I mean, you didn't seem to take it that badly at the time, but I wasn't sure if you were, you know, deluding yourself about it, because sometimes it's such a big thing that the person is delusional at first.
Well, I have started. I'm on Twitch for now, so I believe it's twitch.tv DavisMJArini. Same thing. I'm on BitChute, also DavisMJArini on there, I believe. I'm rebuilding the platforms. And actually, you know what the really funny thing with YouTube is? Back in September, I actually went through all of my videos and I put anything that could get anybody but hurt over whatever. I actually put them all on private just because, like, I don't give a damn about Gamergate anymore, right? It's like, oh no, I have a video about Anita Sarkeesian. Fuck it, put that on mute. Yeah, so I'm rebuilding it on BitChute, on Twitch.tv. I'll tell you one of the worst things. I can't use the YouTube app on my phone anymore. You need a YouTube account to use the bloody thing on your phone. So I have to open it through a browser.
Right. I'll tell you a weird thing. If I can find my phone, I don't know where my phone is, but no, I can't show you. Sorry, I can't find my phone. My phone still thinks that my Twitter account is alive, but it can't do anything. It can't connect. It's weird. When I go onto the Twitter app on my phone, it says 21,700 followers, and it's like it hasn't been informed. No, it's not there anymore.
I still get updated about YouTube videos in my subscriptions.
Wow.
So when you hit the button and you get the screen there, notifications, it has the ones that I bell iconed before getting kicked will notify me that they exist. But if I click on them, it goes to, you know, YouTube account services or Google account services.
It's like a phantom, sensations from a phantom limb.
Yes.
Fucking hell.
I just want to hear something about skinwalkers on my phone while I go to sleep, folks, and it turns into production.
Yeah, it's eerie. And I know that some people say, I mean, like people have said that I took it far too seriously, far too much to heart, and I probably did, but again, this is the modern world, and you do develop an emotional relationship with your Twitter account or your YouTube channel. And to someone who doesn't have a YouTube channel, that's going to seem, you know, crazy. But
well, let's put it this way. Imagine what it'd be like if you just weren't allowed to watch YouTube videos anymore. You know, what if that you can still watch BitChute, you can still go to Twitter or wherever, but you aren't allowed to watch YouTube videos. Well, I mean, not exactly the end of the world, but that's really creepy. And you're now left out of a major part of the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Or imagine if every YouTube video were on limited state. And so suddenly the recommendations aren't there. You can't comment. There's no up or down votes. It's just like it exists in this weird limbo thing where you can't interact with it. That's kind of what it's like when you get deplatformed.
You know what? A huge part of what we do as a species. Now, normally it's very woke to denounce this. But what we do, when something is happening, we look to people around us to see how they're reacting to it. Okay, and yeah, this is a little bit NPC. Like, people but take it way too far.
We're very social creatures. I mean, that's the sum of it.
Exactly. So when you watch a video in a limited state, and there's no up or down votes, there's no comments underneath, you can't... It's like being Helen Keller or having blinders on. That you're not allowed, like your peripheral vision, even if I don't agree with what other people are saying, it gives me a context to things. It informs me about whatever, right? It's crucial. It's like, you know, it's like people that, there's that injury, that brain injury, where they lose the emotional connection to other people's faces. So they'll see their mother and they can visually identify their mother, but there's no emotional reaction that comes from it. And they're like, you're not, who are you? Why are you wearing the skin of my mother? And they can overcome it mentally, but it's still very shocking. It's emotionally difficult to deal with. And that's what happens when you deny the ability to see what the people around you or to interact with the people around you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's evil is what it is. It's like putting somebody into solitary confinement. It is evil.
I said at the time, I wouldn't wish this on anyone. It was one of the worst things I've ever gone through. Now, somebody just said in the live chat that Bo still misses his Twitter. I don't really. I mean, it's now 2.5 months ago, and things move on, and you adapt and you evolve and all this. And, you know, it doesn't feel as close to me as it, anywhere near as close to me as it did at the time. And I dare say that you're sort of moving on from the loss of your YouTube channel as well. I mean, that's an interesting thing in itself. I think the way that you do adapt. What would you say about that?
You know, this kind of relates to people's, you have a set happiness level, right? Which you can actually change that through an effort of will. Like if you're a miserable cunt, winning the lottery will make you happy for about a month and then you're back down to wherever you were. You can consciously change that. You can will yourself to be a more positive person, but you've got this happiness set level and whatever happened, well, usually you'll bounce back from it. But again, it's like that, you know, that glass of water. Is it half full or half empty? Well, my question is, where's the full glass of water I ordered? Right? Like, no, yeah. It's not a good thing. Yes, we can adapt. Yes, we will adapt and overcome. These guys, they're not going to stop trying to censor us anytime soon. I hate to say it, but Donald Trump isn't doing anything to protect us against that, even though, you know, we're his number one, like, it's online is where his support comes from, not the mainstream media. I spoke to Maxime Bernier, who is running for Prime Minister of Canada, and I brought this up to him, and he said he'd have people look into it, but he's also, yeah, well, he's a baby boomer. And I don't think he understands how the conversation, it's not the evening news, it's not the CBC or the newspapers that you need to worry about. You are going to win people. You are going to get elected through Twitter and Facebook.
Well, Donald Trump himself did. I mean, his Twitter profile was crucial, absolutely crucial to his success.
And yet he's not doing anything to protect his supporters on there. So either he can't or he won't, you know? I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I still think he's worth voting for next time around. He's better than any alternatives, but let's not put our faith in the guy.
Yeah, indeed. I think that in his case, he might understand how... then again, somebody said that these politicians understand how important it is when their politicians' accounts get... shadow banned or whatever, but they don't understand the importance of the mass number, like the massive numbers of people underneath them, just ordinary people who have profiles that are supporting them. They don't understand the importance of that, and so it doesn't really occur to them. Oh, we'll be fucked if our supporters don't, if they get censored, if they get deplatformed. Either way, whatever the reasoning is, they are not heading towards an internet bill of rights or the SMACA proposal or whatever. I cannot see any movement in that direction. And that is really depressing.
You know what? Well, here's, like, listen, anything this insane can't continue forever. There's a lot of things to be optimistic about. There's the Yellow Jackets in France, for instance. There's the widespread, that people are really getting sick of the woke stuff. Okay, Battlefield 5 is doing so poorly in sales that 1 month after release, they offered it for 50% off. Because Battlefield 5, if you don't know, it's a supposedly realistic World War II game that has an amputee woman leading the squad of whatever. She has a robot arm, for crying out loud.
For God's sake.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And it's World War II. Right, multi-ethnic unit, completely ridiculous. And they pissed the fan base off so badly that they have to offer it 50% off right now. And it's still not selling.
Well, similar thing with Doctor Who, actually. But let's not get into that. Let's go on with the point.
People are they will get sick of it. They do get sick of lies being thrown into their faces. Now... That doesn't really do much for you or I. Part of the problem with being part of whatever this is, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back, but we're a few years ahead of the curve, right? Like, we were calling out feminism and whatnot years before Gamergate popularized it and then, you know, drove that ship aground.
Yeah, of course. This stuff has been... this is a weird thing. It's the same with multiculturalism and race and Islam. I think that all of these things are now becoming mainstream concerns. They were not in 2013. You were talking about them. I was writing about them. It's not just you and me, obviously. There were many people doing it. But it's now a mass... there is a mass awareness of these as issues.
Well, I think this is... I mean, this is part of the frustration with Sargon of Akkad, right? After we did all the heavy lifting, opposing feminism, back when feminism was completely embedded in the mainstream, everybody was a feminist, and we did all the work opposing it. Now that it's popular to oppose it, he runs with it, and he gets five figures on his Patreon for doing a simple version of what we already did more thoroughly. So it is frustrating.
I know. But it's the way it happens, though, isn't it? I mean, you and I would never have, you know, 900,000 followers, because it's just, it's not our, our style does not invite that kind of mass appeal.
Oh, no, and that's why I'm not truly, you know, I'm not envious of him, because to get a million followers, or whatever it is, to get that many followers, you have to pay so much attention to what your followers want right now. You have to, 90% of your time is going to go to figuring out what the audience wants as to figuring out what's actually true. And I try and listen to my audience. You do as well. We try and gauge what they're up, like, what's the best way I can explain this, or how can I give you guys something that's useful for you? But I want to spend most of my time looking into new ideas, reading books, exploring, you know, different areas. And which is why we have small audiences, but they're audiences that actually like thinking for themselves.
Oh yeah, yeah. I would just echo all of that. I don't think I would want to be in that position of having to cater to, you know, a huge number of people, because let's face it, the average IQ is going to be lower. I mean, that's just a fact. You've got more popular appeal. That means that a certain standard is going to be lower. But then in other ways, it's also much more onerous, because you have to. Well, I remember seeing a quote from one of these awful record producers in the 80s who said that it's easy to make something that only five people like. It's very difficult to make something, that a record that a million people like. And there's definitely truth to that. You know, to make a YouTube video that will get, I don't know, 200,000 views is kind of fucking difficult compared to making one that, you know, if you're just suiting yourself and following your own instincts and your own preferences, then, you know, it's in one way, it's going to be a lot easier.
And you know what, let's be frank, he puts a fair bit of effort, a fair bit of production quality into his videos, which makes them far more consumable. Now, I'll take Black Pigeon Speaks, thank you very much, but he puts effort into those things, whereas something like a breakdown. You know, God bless the people that did those great videos. Mauler did one, E semicolon R did one, breaking down why the new Star Wars movies sucked. I haven't seen the damn movies, but I love watching videos about why they suck.
Yeah, I'm the same with this new Doctor Who series. Exactly the same situation.
Oh God, I haven't seen Doctor Who in a decade, and it's fucking terrible. God bless those people for doing that.
They watch this shit so that we don't have to.
They earn every single view they get on those videos.
So yeah, what was the point we were moving towards with the
we're discussing the narrative, and give me a second here.
But before we got into that, we were saying that Sargon of Akkad sort of has a mass appeal and all that, and we wouldn't want to be in that situation. But at the same time, it's I can't actually remember what we were moving towards. But there was a point to that.
There was some thrust to the whole conversation.
Yeah,
I'll tell you one of the things I'm seeing more and more is that we are living in a very, even people that are allegedly on our side, people that say they are of the right, they're seeking after the same. Okay, I know where this was going initially. Narrative, right? So the left wants to control the narrative. And so the distributors was talking about how we need a better narrative on our side. We need to invest more in the narrative. And I, on the one hand, I completely understand what he's saying. Sometimes when a situation happens, you have to explain it to everybody as a story. It's not enough just to give them the facts. You need to give them a story. But at the same time, the difficulty we are going to have with that, the real challenge, is that narrative. To tell a complex narrative, somebody needs a training in basic narrative structure. They need to understand what tropes are. And the every single one of us has started off learning the tropes of leftism. An example of this is The Littlest Mermaid. So everybody's seen the Disney movie. You know, she falls in love with the prince, and then she fails to get him, and she's going to get turned into sea foam, but then daddy comes and saves her, and she gets to have a wedding. She gets everything she wants because she's a special little frickin' snowflake, right? The original Hans Christian Andersen story was about how you don't always get what you want, especially if you're trying to achieve something above your station. So she's a mermaid, and she's trying to get married to a prince. It's like, honey, you might be able to get him into bed. You are not going to get his hand in marriage. This is completely unrealistic. And so she's given one chance near the end of the book where the sea witch tells her, okay, well, you haven't won his hand in marriage, but if you kill him, I'll restore your flippers. And so she's going to go murder him, but then she just can't do it because she does love him. And so she turns into sea foam, and that should be the end of her. But then she awakens, and she's informed by, I believe, an angel that she is going to be given a second chance because what she did was so noble that even though mermaids don't have souls, she's going to be given the chance to earn a soul and make it into heaven. She will become one of the trade winds to guide sailors home safely. So it's a bittersweet ending, right? There's hope in it, but she doesn't get what she wants. And this is the line from Fight Club. You know, we're all promised we're going to be, you know, space astronauts and rock musicians, and now we're not, and we're pissed off about it. This is a lesson kids need, that you don't get what you want, and also sometimes you wanting that makes you the villain. You know, whether it's, you know, the Little Mermaid planning to murder this guy to get what she wants, right? Like, she's the villain in that scene. C.S. Lewis did a great job about this, where even though it's children's literature, the children in his stories are often venal and lazy and greedy and nasty to one another, the same as we are as adults. It's so well taught. Those are the tropes of a healthy society, that, you know, we're all flawed. Sometimes you can become the villain, and don't try and bite off more than you can chew. Don't go chasing waterfalls. That's not what we have in our culture. We are all indoctrinated with these tropes of leftism. Harry Potter.
Okay. Just before you just go into this, one of the last things I'm echoing on Twitter. He's just accidentally dropped out, but he's back. Yeah, one of the last things I saw on Twitter just before I got banned was a really funny tweet from someone saying, "It's the Harry Potter left versus the Tolkien right." That was a brilliant summation of the situation. So I think that's probably tallies with what you were about to go on to say. So
I was going to say, I worry that more often it's the Harry Potter left fighting against the Marvel Universe right. If it was the Tolkien right, I'd be a hell of a lot more optimistic about things.
Yeah, well, explain what you were going to say before I intervened.
So, like, look at Harry Potter. Now, Harry Potter was written by a single mother about how her precious little baby is all special and deserves everything magical in the world. Okay, and that's the whole story summed up right there. I'm a single mother, and my son is precious and special. He's one of the Indigo children. Whatever. But, you know, look more deeply into Harry Potter. Who's the bad guy? Okay, Voldemort. What is he? He's the patriarchy. He's an old white male who wants to do evil for the sake of evil. Okay, he's patriarchy. All right, and the closest you get, what other male figures do you have? You have beta male Snape, or Snipe or whatever the hell his name is. You know, the creepy looking professor that tried to bang Harry's mom. You've got gay ass Dumbledore. You've got no male role models in Harry Potter. The only masculine figure is the villain. So this primes people, this programs people that masculinity is evil, right? Like you cannot have somebody that's been raised on Harry Potter and Teletubbies and all the other modernist garbage. You cannot have a positive male role model for these people.
We can't even predict the damage that that's going to do, the psychological damage.
Look at Marvel Universe. So Iron Man 3 is the narrative of a man who was so masculine, he was so manly, that he cut off his dick and gave it to his wife because he can still be a man without a dick. Right? Like the movie literally, first it starts off with his wife nagging him about having a penis. And then at the end, he doesn't have his penis anymore, so she picks up his penis. She's like, I kind of like having a penis. And there we go. They're a happy cuck couple now. I saw the first half of, what's the new Avengers movie where they fight the Purple Man?
Can anyone tell us in the live chat?
Avengers Super Battle, Avengers Gems of Profanity. I don't fucking know. I watched half of it, and then something better came up.
Thanos, is that it?
Thanos is the bad guy in it. Soyfinity Wars. Yes, Soyfinity Wars. So the movie literally starts off. So you got Robert Downey Jr., who looks exactly the same as he looked 10 years ago. And you've got Pepper Potts, who looks like his mother. And he's begging her to have a child. And she's like, not until you get rid of your motorcycle.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
He is... Oh, my God. That is not how a healthy relationship goes. She's the one in charge. So, yeah, the Soyfinity Wars. These Marvel movies are absolute garbage. None of these guys earn their powers, their masculinity. None of them sacrifice for it, right? Like, I know that technically Iron Man earned his Iron Man suit because he built it himself. And the first movie was actually kind of cool, how he built it in a cave, because the first movie was okay. But after that, it's no longer a piece of technology, it's a superpower, right? And the Hulk, he didn't earn his superpower. Captain America didn't earn his... Nobody earns anything. They're important because, like Harry Potter, because they have a fucking lightning bolt on their forehead. And so when you raise people on this sort of stuff, when people identify with this garbage, it's a generation of self-important narcissists.
And this was made, I was watching something a few days ago, very recently, and someone made this point about the Star Wars thing, how in the first one, A New Hope, Luke has to earn mastery of the Force. But in this new fucking garbage with the girl, she doesn't really have to do anything. She's just born... She can handle it. She can do it. She's better than anyone else. Fuck's sake.
It's there's an element of transsexualism to this. Because, I mean, this is the difference between boys and girls. A boy, he hits the age of 16. He's a punk. He's a first-level nobody. He has to go kill some fucking rats before he'll even be given a real mission. Right? Young boys, they need to be entered into a manor bund. They need to be guided by older men who bust their chops but develop them into real men that can take over the tribe at the end of it. And that's Luke Skywalker. The old wise mentor is busting his chops, but he gradually turns into the mentor by the end. Women, on the other hand, are given all of their sexual power immediately. A woman has her menstrual cycle, and within a year or two after that, the tits pop out, the hips widen, and she starts, everybody is being nice to her. And so this is, it actually makes sense from this psychology that Rey would have all these superpowers immediately upon, because she just came into womanhood. When she's scrabbling around on the desert planet, she's like a little girl who's still playing with the boys in the sandbox, getting muddy and, you know, busted, you know, scratched knees, all of that stuff. And then she finds out, oh, I'm a Jedi. Now she's come into her womanhood. Now she takes the ugly mask off and she has a beautiful face and she has all of this power immediately. And so it kind of makes a weird sort of sense. The idea of a woman having to bust her ass and earn her way up, that's a man's story.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And but now we have guys lusting after that. So if Harry Potter or the Marvel movies, if these are your inspirations to masculinity, well, these guys gain powers the same way a woman gains power. None of them actually earn it. None of them sacrifice for it. None of them have that moment where they lose innocence. Right, like Luke Skywalker, when he sees Obi-Wan cut down, that's where he loses innocence. That's where he finds out that, no, this isn't safe. No, you're not a boy anymore. No, this is not just a game. People fucking die. Never happens in any of the Marvel movies. No, and yeah, I am generalizing, folks, but you know, you compare it to Lord of the Rings, that all of the characters sacrifice immensely in the whole thing. Boromir is honestly one of my favorite characters because he's the one that tries to steal the ring from the hobbits, and he gives into temptation, and then he dies fighting the orcs, but he has some last words where he's just so incredibly ashamed of himself for doing the wrong thing. And when you read that, it's like, geez, that could have been me. I could have been the guy that gave him to temptation. And he's not a villain. Whereas in the Marvel Universe and in Harry Potter, it's black or white. If you're the good guy, you're the good guy no matter what. If you're the bad guy, you're the bad guy no matter what. You don't have to earn either of them.
But I think this would be a very interesting discussion in and of itself about how these how modern entertainment primes males, especially for a dysfunctional adulthood. I think that is interesting because, as you say, the thing about earning, I think, is absolutely. This has come up in several millennials so far over the last few days. This thing about sacrifice, I think, is absolutely crucial to the male psyche. And basically, they're taught that they don't need to sacrifice. In a nutshell, and I don't want to distort it too much, but that does seem to be an accurate summary.
You know, and one of the big things that you will get flack for as a YouTuber is the fact that you have grown over the years. That you used to be, you used to be first level, and now you're eighth level, but you're still a faggot because you were first level. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the argument that most of the, what do you want to call them, naysayers present. It's like, look, you once made a mistake, so you're eternally bad. There's no acknowledgement. It's like these people have never grown themselves. Okay. They are still at the exact same place they were when they were 16 years old, but they're pretending that they're perfect. It's easy to pretend that you're perfect when you've never tried to do anything.
Yeah, or when you've never had to, when you've never had to risk anything. Now, that's a huge part of it, I think. You just take this thing for granted, really. But to get it back, because we've only got like 15 minutes left, to bring it back to what we were saying earlier about control of the narrative, this is how we got into the Marvel Universe things and the whole SJWification of entertainment.
There's this urge amongst the right to deify people, right? So there's still people that are deifying Trump. Now, I'll be frank. My view of Trump has grown far more cynical over the years, but I never deified him. I was never a big fan of Trump. I think he's kind of classless. I once saw a belt for sale, but it said Donald Trump on it. I'm like, I don't want his name near my dick, so I didn't buy it. I never deified the man. I figured he was a flawed guy, a majorly flawed guy, but I thought he could do a decent job getting America back to business. I've become more cynical. I've been worried about some of his connections, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that there's a lot of people that they either deify Trump or they have to hate him. The QAnon phenomenon is very similar. Now, from the very earliest days with QAnon, I'm like, okay, this guy, I don't know if he is who he claims to be, but he clearly has some idea of what's going on. You could do worse than reading him to understand what's happening behind closed doors.
It's almost like whether it's true or not, it may as well be true kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. But at the same time, this message he keeps putting out about trust the plan. Trust the plan. Don't do anything. Trust the plan. You know, for several years I've been saying, you know what? If Q has a plan, like all the power to you, Q, you go do that plan. Me, well, I'll trust your, sure, I'll trust your plan, right? Are you asking for money? No? Okay, I'll trust your plan. Meanwhile, I have plenty of plans of my own. Q seemed to be advocating a sort of non-action, and there's this cult of personality around him, like the true believers in QAnon, like people, they want a superhero to come save us. They want the chosen one with the lightning bolt on his head to come save us. And that, like, fundamentally, that's no different from how the SJWs think. It's an inversion of how they think, but it's the same fundamental structure. There's the good guys and the bad guys, period. There's no personal engagement, personal responsibility. Like, how many of the SJWs take responsibility for their, for any, like, okay, you're fat and you want to be accepted, get a gym membership and lose weight. That's what you could do. You know what? If you really want to become a transsexual, okay, well, some people are going to be weirded out by that. You don't have the right to force other people to like you. And so some people will like you a lot if you're a transsexual. Other people won't like you at all. You got to take responsibility, accountability for the decisions you make. The left doesn't do that. And there's a lot of people ostensibly on the right that don't want to take accountability either. Like, you want to make America great again, voting for Donald Trump is step one. Step two is get your own house, or take a page of George and Peterson's and wash your balls. Okay, now your balls are washed. Go get a fucking job. You can't get a good job? Go get a useful education. Okay, now you have a useful education and a job. Go start mentoring young men that have been lied to their whole lives, right? Like, you hire an assistant, mentor that guy a little bit. It's like, Donald Trump's not going to do this for you. QAnon ain't going to do this for you. Iron Man and Harry Potter ain't going to do this for you. You want a better world, it starts with you. It's, you can only accomplish so much talking shit on YouTube, you know?
Well, that's certainly true. I think a lot of it is that, well, yeah, exactly. It's like, I wish there were just a quick solution. And I wish that the solutions were just political, but of course they're not. And also, if you don't do that, you're still going to be stuck with this sense of impotence, which I think a lot of people are unwittingly addicted to in various ways.
And that's the thing about Harry. Again, Harry Potter is powerful, but he didn't earn it. So if he didn't have the lightning bolt, he would be impotent. And there's a really good article by The Last Psychiatrist about, and he was pointing, like, this is nothing new, okay? He was talking about the 80s action movies. He was talking about The Matrix and how the men in this generation have been raised to believe that, number one, to get the girl, they have to fight off a pack of ninjas. And the inverse of that. So if you get a girl, but you haven't fought a pack of ninjas, then why is she with you? You've tricked her into thinking you fought a pack of ninjas. And so she's stupid for loving you. Therefore, you hate her. Which is actually, this is an endemic problem. This is, why do you think our parents all got divorced? So there's that. But at the same time, how does Neo learn martial arts? It gets down. Does he study for years and earn it? No. It gets downloaded into his brain. And so there's also this belief that one day I will fight a pack of ninjas. And even though I'm overweight and I've never studied, I don't own a gun and I don't know anything about fighting. But when the day comes to fight ninjas, I will be ready for it because that's how the story goes. You take Neo, who's nothing but a lazy computer hacker that's about to get fired from his job, and suddenly he's fighting Agent Smith. Right? That's what we've been taught by every single movie out there. That instead of earning our way Jesus, you know, I posted this tweet saying there's some people that cosplay by spending all their money on getting a really good outfit to look like, you know, a Marvel hero. There's other people that decide to cosplay by joining the military and learning to shoot a gun, or by studying martial arts or joining a boxing club, whatever, right? And actually becoming the thing that they dreamed about being when they were a little kid. And then not enough of them are doing the latter, quite frankly.
Okay. That seems like a good place to end this. I think we're definitely both agreed that, I mean, the left is selling people a very cheap and dishonest notion of, you know, how to live and so on. I mean, what you are entitled to, what you are, and all that. I mean, it's poisonous.
But a lot of guys on the right want the exact same thing. They want to build a house in Minecraft. They don't even own a hammer in real life.
Indeed. Well, again, I mean, this is a problem is that, you know, people migrate to the right in various ways and at different speeds and in different ways, you know, one thing at a time. And obviously you're going to hold on to certain comforts of the left while you try to become right wing. Why do you conceive of yourself? You think of yourself as right wing, as conservative or reactionary or whatever, but you still are prey to those treats, those sweet lies of the left.
It's, and this is, like, again, one of the favorite things that you said was that you, I know Crowd and T went to town with this because R-type women lay eggs, but you said, you know, about yourself, I used to be very R-type. Like, I was the same way. We were all raised in
exactly.
This
culture. Exactly. And he spurged out about this and said that I wanted to change my DNA or something. Absolute fucking not. I'm talking about habits, learned habits, like, and so many habits aren't, I mean, well, they're all learned in one way or another. And they, you know, they might have a hormonal genetic basis or they might not, whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is, I was talking about changing my behavior. And yeah, he just failed to understand that as he.
You notice how opposed to self-improvement this culture is? Take the NoFap movement, for example. The mainstream media has been reporting NoFap as a white supremacist hate group, right? Like not wanting to spend 2 hours a day jerking off to videos of some other guy fucking a woman is unhealthy.
Yeah, that is obviously it's supremacist and hateful.
Trying to quit... What's your bad habit? I don't know. Maybe you, like a lot, like we were raised, what happens? You go out for food. What are you going to get? You're going to get a hamburger. What comes with it? Coca-Cola, sugar water. You know, like breaking that habit, saying maybe I don't need sugar water with each meal. Maybe I'll have a glass of water or a cup of coffee or something like that. Breaking that habit. You're like, oh, no, that's white supremacist. Don't.
Well, I mean, they could get to the point where they're saying that, you know, talking about giving up smoking is some kind of white supremacy.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
You know, Hitler was a non-smoker.
Well, I've heard people say that. But anyway, let's call it a day there, because this has been
thank you,
solid.
Thank you for having me on. It was a great chat.
Oh, it's great. I enjoyed it. It was like I think we went for about an hour, 10 minutes, something like that. But yeah, this would go. I like to keep them fairly concise because
we could go longer, but it's keep them wanting more.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, excellent. That was as Davis MJ Arini, late of YouTube. Perhaps in the future you'll be back on YouTube. Of course, that'll be a big decision for you to make, I guess. Like, not just tactical, but do you want to get back into that?
Legislation, honestly, and right now I can't even create a fake YouTube account to subscribe to videos.
It's really
maybe I can. I need to, whatever. It's like so low on my things I give a damn about list.
Well, as we said earlier, you do sort of, you know, you adapt. Yeah, okay, all right, excellent. Well, this was Davis MJ Arini. You can find him on Twitter, he's got his own blog, staresattheworld.com. If I'm recalling correctly. Yep. Yeah. And on Twitch now as well. Twitch, right. I mean, I'll put the link in the description box. So excellent. Okay. Thank you Arini, for appearing on Millennial 2018.
All right, thanks for having me.
Okay, and I'll be back soon with True Diltum, probably about 10 minutes. I'll have a wee rest, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye for now.